The scripture reading this morning will be from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers and put fire in them and added incense. And they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will show myself holy. In the sight of all people, I will be honored.'" And Aaron remained silent.
Throughout the United States and Canada, there are 15 junior colleges, and universities that are loosely associated with Churches of Christ. Every fall, Pepperdine University, which is one of those, contacts us and asks us if we would be willing to have one of their staff or faculty members come and speak to us during the months of January and February, dealing with Christian education. So this morning, Dr. Terry Kite is here to speak to us from Pepperdine University. Dr. Kite teaches in the science portion of Pepperdine's undergraduate program. He taught for some years at York College in York, Nebraska, another one of those colleges involved with Churches of Christ. But for the better part of the last 25 years, Dr. Kite has been with Pepperdine University. Dr. Kite turns out is one of the most requested speakers from Pepperdine, and I think that after he speaks, you'll understand why. This morning, he's going to be speaking specifically with the topic dealing with Christian education. I think from his years of experience, you'll understand that he has some valuable things to say. Dr. Kite, we're blessed to have you.
Thank you. Well, this is a special day. I guess you guys knew that. Whose birthday is it today? Nobody knows. This is Elvis's birthday. I knew that would turn you on. I've been in education for more than 60 years. Most of you started to school when you were 5 or 6 years old, something like that. And that's when you started in the education business. You weren't getting paid for it, but you were part of it. Somebody else was getting paid for educating you. But I've never been out of it. I didn't get out of it. I've stayed in it all along. I've worked in the summer times doing other things and all of that, but that's what I've done. I went through high school in North Texas, so you're going to hear a little bit of Southern accent. I feel like Amos sometimes. And then I went 1 year to Abilene Christian. You've probably heard of that school. But then I went to Kearney State. It was called Nebraska State Teachers College or Nebraska State College. Changed its name about 5 times. Now it's University of Nebraska at Kearney in central Nebraska. My dad's a preacher, and he moved there, and so I moved there. I got a job, so I lived at home, and so on. So I graduated from a state school. I went 1 year to a Christian college. I taught in high school for a couple of years, so I'm a teacher. I went to University of Michigan and got a master's degree at the University of Michigan. I attended University of Nebraska, Kansas State. Kansas State got beat the other day by Arkansas. That hurt me deeply. I'm from Texas, but I'm not for the University of Texas, almost any other school. I'm a TCU fan. Then I went to York College and taught a couple of years, and then I went to the University of Wyoming and worked on a PhD and got a PhD in physics, and so I'm a physics professor. Went back to York College, taught there a while, taught for a couple of years at Montana State University. So I can tell you about the Christian colleges from the working standpoint and from the attending standpoint. I can tell you about state colleges from the same way. I've never gone to a secular college that is not a state college, such as Whittier, Occidental, or USC. Anybody in here know that USC was at one time a church-related school? What religion? Does anybody know? See, they've lost it, haven't they? Bad news. We don't want to lose that at Pepperdine. They were a Methodist school at one time, like SMU. But it's gone now. So I can tell you about those things, and I've thought about it a lot over the years. You can find everything that you want to find at both kinds of schools, colleges, universities, whatever you want to call it. You can find the bad stuff, you can find the good stuff at both of those schools and everywhere in everything in between. But there are some differences. At the state colleges, particularly, you can find a lot of stuff that we in the Church of Christ do not approve of, and they are complimented at those schools. If you get drunk, you'll be bragged about. Other things. You can find that at the Christian colleges too, but if you do find it, you'll have to sneak around and do it, and if we catch you at it, we're going to punish you for it. It's not something we approve of. So, there are some controls that we didn't used to have. When I first started teaching at York College, we were called in loco parentis. That means we were the local parents of the students who came. We can't do that anymore. So if a student gets in trouble at Pepperdine, we have a lot of trouble trying to tell the parents about it. We can't tell them about grades and that kind of stuff. We have to deal with the students themselves. That's a legal thing. I went all those years to state schools. It is amazing that I do not have any friends that I just regularly contact from those state schools. None. But I run into my friends that I attended. I went 1 year to Abilene Christian, and I made friends, and I keep up with some of those friends even today. Let me tell you, if you want to send your kids to someplace and have them make friends, you want them to make good friends. Friends who are good people, is what I mean. Now, you can find the good people at the state schools, don't get me wrong. But you're going to find your friends that you come together with on Sunday morning in the Christian colleges. I've thought a lot about the most important thing that a student goes to college and takes away from college with him or her. And I think I've come up with something that you might not have thought about. And as far as I'm concerned, it's more important than the other things, but it may not be that in your mind, but it's a very important thing anyway. I tell my students when they come in, freshmen particularly, but I try to tell all my classes, the most important thing that you will take away from Pepperdine University is two good letters of recommendation. Have you thought about that? See, if you go to a state school, you don't pay very much. You can go to UCSB or CSU, CI, or some of the other schools. You don't pay enough to get to know the professors individually. You don't pay that much. You don't have that right. So you sit in a class of 300 or 400 and you learn chemistry, and you almost never see the professor except during that setting. Now, you'll go to a recitation class and you'll meet a grad student. Some grad students are great. I learned calculus from a grad student. He did a great job. I still honor him. Smoked cigarette. This is the University of Michigan. They smoked all the time. He held his cigarette funny and held his fingers like that, and he would knock the ashes off. But I learned calculus from him. He was a good teacher. You can find that at the state schools. I don't have any friends from the University of Michigan. I was there 2 years. It's amazing. Not one. I haven't contacted any of them in probably 20 years, 30 years, something like that. But if you come to the University of at Pepperdine University or to a Christian college, you pay a lot of money. because you pay for the right to go in and be in a professor's office and spend time with him and have him know you by your first name, and you almost know him by his first name or her. You pay for that. That's an important thing. We had in class this morning that relationships are the most important. Well, that's what that is. You don't pay for the right to make relationships with those educators at a state school. You do pay for that right at a Christian school. Now, there are several in here who are Pepperdine grads. I know that many of you think that Pepperdine is a Christian university. It is not. It is not like Abilene Christian or Oklahoma Christian or York College or any of those others. George Pepperdine designed it as a liberal arts college with a Christian emphasis. His words, not mine. And that's what we strive to be, a liberal arts college with a Christian emphasis. We are not like Abilene Christian. We don't teach Bible classes. We teach religion classes, a thing which hurts me deeply, but we don't do that. We only make students take three religion courses. At Abilene Christian or York or Harding or Oklahoma Christian or something, you're going to take a lot more Bible courses than that, which is great. So we're not a Christian college as such, although we've got very close ties to the Church of Christ. It took me a long time to get used to that. I'd taught at York College where we kind of were beholden to the Church of Christ. Pepperdine is not. We get a lot of money from other kinds of people. It's a great university, but it's not the same as Abilene Christian. I still recruit students for York College. I'm a lover. Do we have any Yorkies in here? None. A lot of times when I go out in Southern California, I see a Yorkie every once in a while. I like Yorkies. Anyway, I think that a couple of the most important things that you can get from your university college experience is these letters of recommendation, which will get you to your next appointment. I don't think it's GPA. All my students are interested in GPA. So what? Nobody asks me for my GPA. They never have. And if you say it, you almost feel like somebody saying, shut up about your GPA, who cares? Your GPA is not all that important. Who you are is important. You know, do you have any integrity? Are you trustworthy? Can you do your job? Can you get your job on time? That kind of thing. In the 10th chapter of Leviticus, that story about Nadab and Abihu getting burned, literally, has a little follow-up to it. Moses also called to Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle Uziel, and said to them, come forward. He didn't let his own parents do it. And carry your relatives away from the front of the sanctuary to the outside of the camp. Man, this was horrible stuff. So they came forward and carried him off. Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, so that you may not die, and that he may not become wrathful against all the congregation. But your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord has brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, lest you die. This was a funeral. You can't even go to your kid's funeral. So they did according to the word of Moses. The Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you may not die. I don't know if Nadab and Abihu were half drunk when they went in there or not. I don't know. Somehow they made a mistake. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations. Now, what was special about Nadab and Abihu? They were next in line to become the high priest. They were priests. Aaron's family were the priests for the whole of Israel. Who are the priests today? What is he saying? Peter, you're a royal priesthood. You are the priests today. This is your business, what Aaron's sons were supposed to be doing. They made a bad mistake. They didn't even know what mistake they made. And so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, this is where I'm going. Make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean. The holy and the profane, the unclean and the clean. Tomorrow morning I'm going to have a class, 9 o'clock. We're going to study about electrons and protons and things. Nature. Nature is not clean. Nature is not holy. I love studying it, but I know the difference. If you will turn with me to Ezekiel. I love Ezekiel. He's become one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And I'm looking in the 44th chapter of Ezekiel, starting with verse 15, but I'm going to go through this kind of fast right here. The Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, which kept charge of my sanctuary when the sons of Israel went astray from me, shall come near to minister to me. And they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, declares Jehovah. They shall enter my sanctuary, they shall come near to my table to minister to me and keep my charge. And it shall be that when they enter the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed. You think clothes are important? Listen to this. Profane and unclean. They shall be clothed with linen garments. We have this flax growing around on campus now. And I have to tell people, that's flax. That's what they make linen out of. And the high priest's outfit was made out of fine linen. And I don't even know how they do that, because it's a big wide blade of stuff. I'd like to watch the linen process sometime. Maybe I'll get it on TV. They shall be clothed with linen garments, and wool shall not be on them. Wool? Ooh, that's different. Wool shall not be on them while they are ministering in the gates of the inner courts in this house. I love wool. I like to wear wool a lot. Well, in the Old Testament, when they came before God, they didn't wear any wool. Linen turbans shall be on their heads, and linen undergarments. Underwear made out of linen. You ever think about that? Shall be on their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything which makes them sweat. Because this is before Jehovah. Now, when they go out in the outer court to the people, they shall put off their garments in which they have been ministering and lay them in the holy chambers. Then they shall put on their other garments, I suppose made out of wool, cotton, that they may not transmit the holiness to the people with their garments. Also they shall not shave their heads, yet they shall not let their locks grow long. Kind of in between, I guess. They shall only trim the hair of their heads, nor shall any of the priests drink wine when they enter the inner court. And they shall not marry a widow or a divorced woman, but they shall take virgins from the offspring of the house of Israel, or a widow who is the widow of a priest. This is the verse now, this verse 23. Moreover, they shall teach. What we were talking about earlier is education. They shall teach. We are the priests. We shall teach. This is the business of parents. Teach their kids the difference, this thing. They shall teach. The difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to be able to discern between the unclean and the clean. Folks, there are lots of things around us. Many of them belong to the church, belong to this, and they're clean, they're holy. But there are many more that are out there that we just kind of don't even think about very much, that are not clean. In the Old Testament, I think one of the worst things the Lord ever did to the Jewish people was, you can't eat pork. Man, I love pork. Bacon. Pork chops. Don't tell me it's not good meat. You know, and you can talk about the health of it, eating it raw and all that kind of stuff. God said, don't eat it because it's unclean. And he made a distinction between the two. And then we talked about that this morning when Peter, he was shown that bunch of stuff. And he says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He said, oh, no, those are unclean animals. I can't do that. Who is it that makes something clean? Jehovah makes it clean. That's the difference. And we've got to teach people around us the difference between what's holy and what's profane. Now, we don't use the word profane very much, so I had to look it up in the dictionary. Profane means irreverent, showing disrespect for God or any deity or religion. Now, we wouldn't do that. We don't want our kids to we want them to know what stuff is irreverent. Stay away from those things. Secular, not connected with or used for religious matters. That includes a lot of stuff that we just use. And then the uninitiated. Anything that is not initiated into sacred or secret rites is unclean, is profane. Now, the way we use it in our culture today, mostly, is the word profanity. And when I say the word profanity, almost everyone in here thinks about language. Profane language. Bad language. There's a lot of stuff around us that doesn't have to do with language that's profane. And what Ezekiel is being told by God to tell the people, teach them the difference between what's holy and what's profane. Now, I'm not going to try to get you, I'm not going to tell you all the description of what's holy and profane today. There's no way I could do that. But it deserves a lot of thought. We've got to spend a lot of time worrying about the difference between what's holy and what's profane. There's a lot of things that we do that we cannot include in the holy bracket. I suspect education is one of them. My field is not really all that holy, if you think about it. Studying the Bible is. What we do in class is. But the rest of it is not. I want to talk about some stuff. In the New Testament, if you'll turn to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul was jumping on the Corinth church for the way they ate. Eating? Can eating be profane? I think that's the whole point. When they came together to do this kind of stuff, it's holy. And they weren't doing that. They were having basket lunches. You know, they were fellowship meals and that kind of stuff. And Paul jumps on them and he says, don't you know the difference between the holy and the profane? You do that in your home. It's not holy. It's not before God. And then he said, don't you know that every time you do that, you preach a sermon? Every time you take the Lord's death, the Lord's table, you proclaim the Lord's death? When you do, you're preaching. You women want to preach? Every time you take the Lord's table, you're preaching a sermon. Proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Eating and what we eat and how we eat is important. It's the difference between holy and profane, clean and unclean. It's important. Baptism. You know, you go out and you get in a swimming pool or you take a bath or something like that, you get in the water. Yeah, but it's not baptism. Peter says, well, it's not just washing your body off. There's something bigger there. There's a holiness to it when you're baptized. It's not like just getting in the water. Baptism is different. Special. It's holy. It's not a profane thing, just a worldly thing. This is kind of a funny deal. Turn back to Exodus, the 20th chapter. Now, if I were going to build an altar to the Lord, I would design it, man, I would make it look beautiful. I'd fill it with gold inlay and that, make it big and all this kind of stuff. And the Lord tells them how to build an altar in the 20th chapter of Exodus. He says, now, in verse 24, you shall make an altar like this. Just pile up a bunch of dirt. Isn't that what he says? You shall make an altar of earth for me. Just get a shovel and pile up some dirt. That doesn't sound much like an altar, does it? That's what he says to do. You shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings and your sheep and your oxen in every place where I cause my name to be remembered, and I'll come to you and bless you. Just pile up dirt for an altar. And if you make the altar out of stones, oh yeah, we'd get stones, wouldn't we? A little bit more durable than just dirt. You shall not build it of cut stones. But they won't stay together very well, Lord. I don't care. Don't build it out of cut stones. Do it like I tell you. You shall not build it out of cut stones, for if you wield your tool on it, you will profane it. There's that word. You make it unclean with your actions. You make it beautiful for you, but it sure doesn't look beautiful to me. You profane it. What would we carve on the front of it? IHS, in His service? We would make it be beautiful and high. And then he says, and don't go up by steps. Don't make it very tall. Don't go up by steps to my altar that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. I've thought about that a lot. Do you think that if the Lord had wanted those stones squared off with IHS on them, He could have made them that way? Do you think that if the Lord wanted a violin music in our assemblies, He could have made you sound like a violin? He could have made you sound like a piano or an organ? What did He say to do? Sing. Do it like I tell you. Sing. If I wanted those stones to be squared off, I'd square them off. I made them like I want them. I made your voice like I want it. Kind of scratchy, won't hit the notes right, that's fine. Let me tell you, I'm a little bit concerned about our four-part harmony. Who cares? It sounds good to us, but it doesn't sound good to the Lord, I'm worried. The difference between holy and profane. Man, we got to study about that. Our music is kind of special to the Lord. Our clothing, special to the Lord. I've got a linen shirt. I get it cleaned because it just doesn't look like anything when I put it in the dryer and whatever. And they charge me extra. It's a short sleeve shirt, of all things. And you, if you've got linen clothing, you know they have to do it special and all that. I don't know what all they do to it, but it costs more. And they always put another sticker on it and everything. It's weird. But that's what the Lord said that they had to wear. Linen clothes. Now, we're not living under the same laws that they do. But don't tell me the Lord is not interested in what you wear. Because the Lord hasn't changed. The laws maybe have changed, but the Lord hasn't changed. He's the same. Well, I've talked about education, and I hope that you send your kids to a place where they can learn about the Lord a lot and learn the difference between the holy and the profane. Now, if you have to send them to a state school because it's cheaper, at least send them to the Texas A&M. Not because they might beat the University of Texas. because they've got one of the biggest Christian groups. I was in Bozeman, Montana, and there was a group of about 10 kids, 10 boys that came in there, and they slept where I was for a little while, and they were going to go on north and do something for a church in Montana someplace. They send students out like that every summer. They're one of the biggest student groups that will take these guys and make them be Christians and teach them the difference between the holy and the profane. Send them to a place like that. You can find what you want at any place. If you're into money, then you're going to try to save money and send your kid to a state school. But if you're into souls, you may spend that extra money. So they'll know the difference between the holy and the profane. We don't want to get caught up in the profane stuff. I know I'm going to teach about nature. I love to teach about nature. But I know that it's profane. I know that it's not holy. And what I do on Sunday morning when I come to a place like this, this is holy. This is important. This is permanent. That other stuff's temporary. I don't know what the status of your soul is in the big spectrum of holy and profane, but it's there somewhere. Concentrate on that while we are going to sing in just a moment. And see if you need some help from somebody else to teach you the difference between the holy and the profane. If you have a need of that in any way, would you come forward as we stand together and sing, please?